Election years are always busy, and this one has been an absolutely wild ride. But we're not here to talk about presidential candidates today, or rather, we're not only talking about them. I'm Katie Frankowitz, news director at KMUN. This is a special election-themed program brought to you by the KMUN News Department. Today, you're going to hear about local races and local issues. We cover a 5-county area on Oregon's North Coast and in Southwest Washington. And that can make comprehensive coverage of local elections really tricky. The KMUN News Department is tiny. There are not enough minutes during our newscast, and definitely not enough hours in the day for me to really drill down into every candidate and every issue the way that we would like to. Today's program is an effort to get you some solid information about how to make sure that, no matter who you vote for next month, your vote counts. We also wanted to highlight some of the election stories in our listening area. Over the next half hour, you'll hear stories about the Washington Lands Commissioner race and how it touches us locally. You'll hear community voices from the booths of different political parties at the Tillamook County Fair. And you'll hear about what happens when nobody signs up to run in a race. Come along for the ride as we count down to election night. When Democrat Hillary Franz opted not to run for a third term as Washington State's Commissioner of Public Lands, it opened up the field for someone else interested in overseeing millions of acres of the state's public and private lands. Commissioner of Public Lands might be an obscure position to many, but as Riley Yuan reports, for small landowners and farmers in a region dependent on forestry and fishing, whoever holds the role can have a major impact on their lives and livelihoods.
Nick Samaro manages a roughly 50-acre tree farm. For him and other family foresters, the buffers they are required to maintain along streams cut deep into their acreage, far deeper than on an industrial plantation.
45 to 50% of my property is under restrictions for stream buffers in the timber.
Tree farmers have spent years trying to convince the state to take things like this into account and relax the rules for small forest landowners. For Samaro and others like him, the philosophy of anyone taking on the role of Commissioner of Public Lands is important. One of the candidates for the position is former Republican Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler. She is pro-management and has said she is interested in increasing logging on public lands that aren't already protected. Her opponent, Democrat Dave Upthegrove, however, has made the preservation of older and aging forests one of his top priorities. Trees in what some environmentalists call legacy forests are bigger than anything grown by small forest landowners. But Upthegrove's emphasis on this type of preservation has people like Samaro concerned that he doesn't appreciate the disproportionate effect environmental regulation can have on their bottom lines, or their rural lifestyle. The work of a commissioner of public lands also touches on Willapa Bay's shellfish growers, who for years have been losing ground to burrowing shrimp. Like their name suggests, these shrimp dig down into oyster beds. This loosening up of the tideland can create a muck that smothers oysters. Shellfish farmers had long controlled the shrimp with pesticides, but public outcry eventually compelled them to strike a deal with the state for support in researching alternative methods of pest control. Years later, those efforts have yet to find a cost-effective solution. Kathleen Nisbet Monsey is a second-generation oyster farmer and an advocate for Willapa Bay's shellfish industry, the largest private employer in Pacific County. She's seen the shrimp's impact firsthand, growers who lost acres of active tideland, who have gone out of business or had to transition into conglomerates because they couldn't afford to farm independently. For her and others, the philosophy of a lands commissioner matters more than their political party.
In our rural area, it's really about people. So we go to Republicans and to Democrats, and it's about the person who's going to take that, is going to go the extra mile for the investment in our rural communities and take time to get to know us and to find out what our issues are. At the end of the day, that is the person that you go with.
When Butler was in Congress, she worked closely with shellfish farmers. As a candidate in the Commissioner of Public Lands race, She says the Department of Natural Resources should pay more attention to tidelands and the challenges shellfish farmers face. Public discourse around natural resources can be fraught, often with environmentalists on one side and industry on the other. It can be even harder when this divide coincides with larger cultural and political rifts. Dr. Paula Swedeen serves as policy director at Conservation Northwest and participated in one such recent attempt at dialogue. The solutions table was first convened by Commissioner Franz in 2018 for timber and environmental interests. It was an effort to push toward a compromise over a long-term conservation strategy for the marbled murrelet. The group met more than 20 times over the course of 2 years before ultimately falling apart. Whoever wins in November could try something like it again, but Swedeen says it will take political endurance and willpower.
It's gonna take a lot of work, and so whoever's in that role can't just step away if it feels too hard, because it's gonna be hard.
Still, the small landowners and farmers we talked to for this story say they are motivated by something far deeper than politics. They say they manage the land because they love it. Stewardship is a way of life, and they have been at it for generations. I'm Riley Yuan, reporting.
You can mail your ballot through U.S. Mail, but definitely get it out early to make sure it is postmarked in time. Depending on where you live, local mail might get routed through another city for a postmark, and this adds on days. You can also drop your ballot off at an official site in your county. Throughout this special program, we'll tell you where you can take your ballot with the information broken down by county and city. All of this information is available on each county's website. We want to make it easier for you, so we're collecting all the ballot drop box information, organizing it by county, and putting it on our website, along with some handy links. Check it out at kmun.org/election.
In Washington state, you have until October 28th to register to vote or to update your voter registration. This can be done online or by mail. Once you get your ballot and fill it out, you can mail it through the post office or take it to an official drop site. In Northern Pacific County, these sites include the Pacific County Fairgrounds in Menlo, the Labom Fire Department in Labom, the Pacific County Department of Public Works in Raymond, the Pacific County Courthouse in South Bend, in Tokeland and Shoalwater Bay, in front of the Tribal Court Building, and at the Bay Center County Park in Bay Center. If you are in the southern part of Pacific County, ballot drop boxes are located in Nacelle at the Washington State Patrol parking lot, in Chinook at the Chinook Community Center, in Long Beach at the Pacific County Administration Facility off Sandridge Road, and in Ocean Park at the Ocean Park Senior Center. For voters who want to vote privately and independently, the Pacific County Courthouse in South Bend has an accessible voting unit available 18 days before the election. You will need to show a photo ID or sign a declaration. The signature on the declaration must match the signature in the voter registration record. In Wakayakum County, ballots can be dropped off in Cathlamet, indoors at the Wakayakum County Courthouse Auditor's Office, or at an outdoor drop box at the Wakayakum County Courthouse. You can also take ballots to Johnson Park in Rosburg. The ballot drop box is located next to the red library box by the front door. Or you can take ballots to Skamakaway Resort in Skamakaway, located directly off of State Route 4 by the blue USPS mailbox.
You're listening to a special election program brought to you by the KMUN News Department. This entire program will be available as a podcast on our website, so you can listen anytime. Go to kmun.org/podcasts. Up next, what do you do when nobody runs in an election?
In the small city of Klatskanai, east of Astoria, there is only one candidate and four open positions for the city council going into November's general election. The one name on the ballot is incumbent Jeff Hornus. He's running unopposed to retain his seat on the city council. But across from the three other city council positions on the ballot, including the position of mayor, there are just blank spaces, slots where voters can write in a name, if they want to. As far as city manager Greg Hinkleman knows, this is a first for the city. He says it was a little bit of a surprise, but only just. He knew Mayor Bob Brycich and city councilors Bruce Jolma and Gary Jones were not planning to run again, and there didn't seem to be anyone coming up behind them. Only one person ever showed up at City Hall looking for a city council election candidate packet, and nothing came of it. Brycich thinks Klatskanite will have leaders at the end of the election.
There has been some people that told me that they are willing to run a riding. So I'm hoping the positions will get filled.
Brycich, a retired auto mechanic, became mayor of Klatskanite in 2016 through a write-in campaign himself, beating incumbent Diane Pohl. A write-in election is different from a normal election in several key ways. The names that voters write in will need to be tallied and abstracted by county election staff. Names that appear to belong to real people living in Klatskanite will be looked into as potential candidates. While preliminary results for other races and measures will be known by 8 p.m. on election night, it will be longer before Klatskanite residents find out who won the write-ins. Elections officials have from election night through when the election results are officially certified to establish who the top vote-getter is in the write-in elections. That person will need to meet certain requirements to be considered a legitimate candidate, and of course, they have to want the job. If no clear write-in candidate emerges at the end of the election, the city council positions will be declared vacant. Hinkleman, the city manager, says the city council will be in charge of asking for applicants and appointing people to fill any vacant seats. He expects if the position of mayor is vacant following the election, someone who is already on the city council could be appointed to that seat. Write-in elections mean more work for Columbia County election staff, though election supervisor Don Clack wouldn't call it a big lift.
No, it's just a lift. I mean, it's something that has to be done.
Though he was a write-in candidate himself, Brycich isn't fully at ease about the situation this year.
You'd love to have names on the ballot, you know, and choices for people in elections and more interest in being on the council.
But Brycich knows that there are barriers to apply, especially for people with full-time jobs or young families. And this kind of public service can be daunting for other reasons.
We have a nasty thing called Facebook. And, you know, and then, which is sad because it really discourages people from getting on there, you know. It's hard to get people involved because of there is so much public criticism nowadays, or, you know, people mistake it for accountability, but I think it's frustrating to a lot of people and scares them away.
He says anyone looking to join the Klatskanite City Council needs to have patience and a thick skin.
In Oregon, the deadline has passed to register to vote or to update your registration. So hopefully you're all ready to go. Ballots only just went out in the mail in Clatsop County, but you should be seeing yours soon. Once you receive your ballot and fill it out, where can you take it in Clatsop County? You can go to the Clatsop County Clerk and Elections Office at 802 Exchange Street in Astoria. There are also 24-hour drive-up drop boxes in Astoria outside of the county office on 9th and Exchange Street, and in Warrenton outside of City Hall off Southwest Main Court. In South Clatsop County, there are 24-hour drive-up drop boxes in Cannon Beach outside of City Hall at the entrance of the parking lot off Gower. In Gearhart outside of City Hall on Pacific Way, and in Seaside outside of City Hall on Broadway. In Napa, you can take your ballot to a 24-hour drive-up drop box outside of the high school off Old Highway 30. In Jewell, the drop box is outside of the high school off Highway 103. In Columbia County, you can take your ballot to the Columbia County Courthouse in St. Helens. If you're in Scappoose, head to the Scappoose City Hall. Ballot drop boxes are available at the Klatskanite Library and the Vernonia Public Library and at Rainier City Hall or inside the office at the Mist Birkenfeld Rural Fire Protection District in Mist.
You're listening to a special elections program from the KMUN News Department on your community radio station, KMUN 91.9 FM. In this final part of our show today, we travel down the Oregon coast to the Tillamook County Fairgrounds, where, for at least a few days this summer, the political divide meets under a single roof.
Let's go back in time to August 8th, the second day of the Tillamook County Fair. Just a few weeks before, there had been an assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump at a rally where he was appearing as the Republican candidate in this year's presidential election. A week after that, current President Joe Biden, the Democratic candidate, announced he would be dropping out of the race. He endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris as his replacement. By the time the Tillamook County Fair opened in August, Harris had been named the Democratic Party's official nominee, and she'd announced Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. In just a few weeks, the conversation around the election, the strategies, the entire vibe, had suddenly, jarringly shifted. In the main building at the Tillamook County Fairgrounds, local groups representing the two political parties had booths set up at opposite sides of the hall.
I had a woman come by yesterday, and she came to the side of the booth and whispered to me, "I've been watching carefully, and I think you have more people coming through than the Republicans." And I have no idea, but we haven't engaged with them, no. I don't know, maybe that's an idea.
I was actually thinking of going over there.
Why don't you be the spy?
That's Denise, a volunteer with the Tillamook County Democrats and a longtime resident of Tillamook County. At the Democrats' booth, there was a sense of a celebration held only barely in check. The energy was high. For the most part, they'd spent the day talking to people who already agreed with them. But there were some other interactions, too.
We just had a little bit of an antagonistic conversation with, I assume he's a Republican. A lot of pointed questions about if the Democrats are going to say they're going to do this and that, why didn't they already do it, that kind of thing. But you had a respectful conversation. We've only had one or two people that would just walk by and look at us and say Trump 2024. So most people are pretty kind.
Over at the Republican booth, Mike Sears, chairman of the Tillamook County Republican Central Committee, was having a similar experience. Most of the people who stopped to talk were fellow Republicans, some of them interested in entering a raffle for a gun the group had on offer. But
I did have one hot conversation with a lady that was fixated on firearms, and I couldn't slow her down. She was really distraught at just seeing that person suffer so much on the issue and finding a way to break through to look. I says, our heritage here in the country is different because we were held accountable by our parents and our neighbors. If you were reckless and careless with a firearm, then there would be a toll to pay on that.
Still, he says, overall,
the comfort in living here is not being confronted all the time.
Walk through neighborhoods on Oregon's North Coast during an election year, and you'll see a mix of political signs, reflecting the mix of political views that live alongside each other on this part of the coast. In 2020, Trump had only 288 more Tillamook County voters than Biden. And if you go down the list of races and look at the votes cast for Republican and Democratic candidates, the total vote splits about 50-50 either way. Opinions may be strong, but people have also had to figure out how to live alongside each other. Dave Rahan is the interim chair of the Tillamook County Democrats. Not long after he moved to the county, he learned that one of his neighbors supported Trump. It was 2019, ahead of the 2020 election. The two men ended up connecting over their love of fishing. They took a fly fishing class together. Later, Rahan's neighbor said he changed his mind about voting for Trump. For Rahan, it was a reminder about the importance of relating to people on a personal level if you want to have any hope of changing their mind. But in general, he says, he doesn't know much about his other neighbor's politics.
politics doesn't come up unless we're trying to get the potholes in our street fixed.
National politics, he knows, can feel intangible, whereas...
The potholes annoy me every time I leave and every time I come home. The national stuff doesn't annoy me nearly that often.
And in Beaver, where Rahan lives, Tillamook County government is in charge of the potholes outside his home. And the county commissioner's offices are about a 20-minute drive away. I'm Katie Frankowitz, the news director for KMUN. This summer, I sat down with Christy Neisseth, the Tillamook County clerk. She oversees elections in that county. We talked about different concerns related to ballots and what happens to ballots once you drop them off or mail them in. The interview you will hear has been edited for time. Briefly, could you take us through what happens to a ballot once it leaves the voter and comes to you?
The ballots come in the mail or we pick them up from the drop sites. Then we begin the signature verification process. So each ballot has a unique barcode on it that's associated with a specific voter. And we wand those in and the signature comes up with the voter record and we verify the signature that's on the envelope against what we have in our system. So we're doing every single ballot that comes through gets signature verified. And then they get sorted into precincts. We print ballots by precinct. And so we sort them into their appropriate precincts. And then each time along the way, so say we have 500 ballots in this first step, when it goes to be precincted, we should have 500 total ballots at that next step. And then the next step is our boards start coming in and we start opening and removing the ballots from the envelope. And those ballots then go to our adjudication board, who they then verify, because Oregon is a voter intent state. And so we look at the ballot and say you filled in an oval for one candidate and then thought, oh shoot, I did the wrong one. You can X through that and mark the oval for the candidate that you did want. And sometimes if we run those through, our tabulator won't be able to process that.
That's the machine.
Yes. And so we have the adjudication board that's supposed to fix any errors before we go through the tabulator. So they use whiteout and we use enhancement tools to either enhance light marks or to mark through or white out incorrect marks before they go through the machine. We have four people on that board. They work in usually in teams of two and so of opposite parties. And they make that check. Then those ballots go through our tabulation system. And then I have one of my staff and a temporary worker running the ballots through the machine. And so that's like the final step before the votes are all counted and tallied up.
What are some of the things people should be aware of that could get their ballot rejected?
Well, if your signature doesn't match, that's probably our biggest one. The other thing is if you forget to sign your ballot envelope. Those are probably the two biggest things that we have. And a lot of times, husbands, wives, or parents sign the ballot return envelope because they think, well, we sat down and voted. We both voted. We both put our envelopes in. I remembered to sign, but my husband didn't. So I'm just going to sign his name. And that happens quite often.
If there are major issues on a ballot, a voter can have a chance to fix those issues or cure their ballot. Getting back these cured ballots is part of the work that Neisseth does following election night. With the concerns raised in recent years about the fairness and security of our election process, I asked Neisseth what she hoped people understood about their local election offices.
I wish my voters could just have that bird's eye view and could just see the election as a whole and kind of see the whole process from beginning to end and truly understand that we don't care what political party you're affiliated with or how you vote, who you choose for president. We just truly want you to exercise your right to cast a vote. And I just think I wish more people understood that part of it and that we're not coming at it from a partisan political standpoint. We really are. It doesn't matter what my political affiliation is, when I sit in this chair, I'm nonpartisan.
Republicans and supporters of former President Donald Trump have warned of widespread election fraud and spread concerns about non-citizens voting in an election. Nyseth says her office has been fielding more and more such concerns from locals, especially since 2020. She says she takes pride about being transparent and ethical in her job, and that it's hurtful to her and her staff to have that called into question. But she says they try not to take it personally and focus instead on helping people better understand and see what the Elections Department does. During Oregon's May primary election this year, Tillamook County ran into a problem. Mailed ballots were being returned to the voters who had mailed them instead of going to the county's Elections Department. So Nyseth encouraged voters to bring their ballots to drop sites instead of mailing the ballots. The issue was tied to how the addresses on ballot envelopes were being read when they went through postal equipment. Nyseth says they have been assured by the Secretary of State that everything is fixed now. She says it shouldn't be a problem this election.
In Tillamook County, you can take your ballots to a number of places. Ballot drop sites are open and ready for your votes as of this week. If you are in South Tillamook County, there is a drop box in Cloverdale across the street from the Center Market and in Pacific City at the Kiwanda Community Center. In Central Tillamook County, there are three places in the city of Tillamook where you can take your ballot. You can go to the clerk's office at the Tillamook County Courthouse off Laurel Avenue. There is a drive-up drop box at the northwest corner of 3rd and Laurel. And then there's the drop box at the library main branch on 3rd Street. In North Tillamook County, there is a ballot drop box at the City Hall in Bay City, at the City Hall in Garibaldi, at the City Hall in Rockaway Beach, and at the 5th and Lanita bus stop in Manzanita, across from the Manzanita Police Station.
Elections can be exhilarating and stressful. There are times where it can be easy to wax poetic about ideals or fall into exhausted cynicism. Maybe you've needed to step away from the news. Maybe you're intensely curious about how all this ends. Wherever you find yourself today, thank you for tuning in to this special program from your KMUN News Department. Extra special thanks to KMUN News producer and host Skylar Butenshin, KMUN News volunteer Sophia Atkinson, and Program Director Jack Harris also contributed to this program. Thank you to journalist Riley Yuan. His work comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Stay safe out there, and remember to vote. For KMUN, I'm Katie Frankowitz.
The KMUN News Department covers Tillamook, Clatsop, and Columbia counties in Oregon, and Pacific and Wakayakum counties in Washington. If you have a story tip or issue you think we should look into, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org.